Our scripture this morning is from Luke, Gospel of Luke. And for the children, I think all the children probably, or most of the children probably could tell you this story. The story in this gospel this morning. The story from Luke. So maybe the children, you want to listen real carefully also, or those of you who can read, you probably could follow along as you see it on the wall. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Now, do you children know what lepers are? You do? I think you know that Don and Judy were in Tanzania, and they we're at a place where they treat leprosy, or people with leprosy. This is a very bad illness that these people had. 10 lepers approached him, but they kept their distance because they knew the rules that if you had leprosy, you didn't get close. They called out saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Now, if you're ever healed, you're supposed to go to the priest and he's supposed to declare that you are really healed. And they went. And as they went, they were made clean, all well. Then one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and start praising God with a loud voice. He came to Jesus and fell down at his feet and thanked him. And this man was a Samaritan, which was considered a foreigner. Then Jesus asked him, "Were not 10 made clean? Didn't I heal 10 people, 10 men? Where are the other 9? Was none of them found to return and give praise except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Blessings, Randy, as you minister to us.
Let's pray. God, we are thankful. We are thankful that you are here with us, that you love us, that you send your love upon us like rain. We receive your love, Lord. We ask that you would speak to us this morning through this word of yours in the book of Luke. As we follow you, Jesus, and we love you. Amen. Well, have you given thanks for anything recently? I'd call out something you're thankful for here, real quick. The rain. Wow. Perfect. Say it again. Your wife. Love it.
Chickens.
Being able to swim. One more. Ice cream. Yes. There are so many things to be thankful for. And I am thankful this morning that we are gathered here together and that God is present with us. We're continuing in our summer sermon series called Practicing Faith. And as you may have picked up on, the focus this morning, the spiritual practice, is the practice of giving thanks. Now, I am very aware that some of you right now maybe are not thankful that the sermon is at the exact same time as the World Cup final, literally happening right now. I thought about getting Jonathan to live stream it in right in that screen there so I could be kind of following it, but I decided to pass on that one. But we are talking about being thankful. Anne Lamott, author of the book Traveling Mercies, she says, "Here are the two best prayers that I know. Help me, help me, help me. And thank you, thank you, thank you. How appropriate. Our focus statement this morning reads, a posture of gratitude orients us toward Jesus and the transformation he works in our lives. Could there be a more appropriate focus statement this Sunday morning that we celebrate Corey and Becca's new life with Everett James, and we celebrate and give thanks for the life of Sky Selah and dedicate her life to God? I don't know if there could be a better theme this morning. And all of this thankfulness, we have this focus statement that takes this thankfulness that we have and it orients us back to Jesus and the transformation that Jesus works in our lives. And our scripture text this morning helps us to understand thankfulness within God's story and takes us to the book of Luke. This wonderful story where Jesus once again is up to what he does best, hanging out with the outcasts and the forgotten people. Don't you just love that about Jesus? That all of the groups and people that he could have chosen to associate with, he chooses the ones that are rejected by most. This is the Jesus that we follow. Makes us wonder, it makes me wonder, who would Jesus be hanging out with today? We read that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And right away, we have a clue that Jesus is in some territory that is not the most popular place to be. See, Samaritans were not the people that most good Jews would have hung out with. There probably would have been some significant feelings of ill that would have went back a long time ago, all the way to the separation of the northern and the southern Jewish kingdoms. If you're really interested in looking back into the church, into the Old Testament, and really understanding how some of these divisions began, it's very interesting. I'm not going to get into all of that. But it probably had to do with the separation of the northern and the southern Jewish kingdoms. And there was a significant lack of unity between the tribes of Jacob. And that's where some of this rift started to begin. And it's important to understand that there was politics and religion involved in some of this rift that had happened. Imagine today the hatred between Serbs and Muslims in modern Bosnia, the enmity between Catholics and Protestants in Northern Ireland, or the feuding between street gangs and just how much loyalty and separation there is and strife between different groups. That can begin to give us a little bit of a sense of the separation that existed here amongst the Samaritans and the Jews. And at the outset of this story, we are told that 10 men are struck with leprosy. They live between regions in a no man's land of being socially, religiously, and physically unclean, forgotten. They are the true outcasts. And we are told that as Jesus enters a village, 10 lepers approach him, keeping their distance. See, they understand the social norms and how close they're allowed to get. But they call out to Jesus while keeping their distance, and they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. And then we read in this story that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turns back and he praises God with a loud voice, prostrating himself at Jesus' feet. And he was the Samaritan. The one who was probably the least likely by all societal norms to be the one and turn around and say, thank you, Jesus. And Jesus responds, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise except the foreigner? And then Jesus says, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. That's an important statement there, because it tells us that something has happened for this Samaritan who was healed that is something bigger than just the physical sickness of leprosy. There's something else that happened here. What was it? If you look into some of the biblical translation of what that phrase, your faith has made you well, means, one might also translate it as Eugene Peterson does. Your faith has healed and saved you. That's out of the Message. The Greek word from the root sozo can be translated any of these ways: healed, made well, saved. It can also be translated with the King James Version, your faith has made you whole. However we translate it, one thing is clear. There is more at stake here than just physical healing. This man has experienced a transformation in his life. Only something that could happen through Christ. Because he took the time to turn around and give thanks, his faith has made him well. The story of healing has turned into a story of an outsider who is welcome into God's plan of salvation. And the Samaritan comes to understand this because he took the time to stop and say thank you. And that's why this focus statement this morning is so dead on accurate in how the book of Luke and this story tells us that the posture of gratitude is more than just giving thanks. But when we think about gratitude within the biblical theological terms, when we practice giving thanks, and that's where this important word of practice comes in. We've been talking about how habits and practices are formational in our lives. They form who we are. That this posture of gratitude forms us and orients us to Jesus and the transformation that he's working in all of our lives. I appreciate the call to worship this morning, because it's honest, right? It's honest that sometimes gratitude is hard. What we said together this morning was, when you say always, do you mean always, Lord? Again, I say rejoice. But if I'm honest, God, I don't feel like rejoicing right now. The Lord is near. Be near, Lord. Surely I know I can identify with the healed people in this story who didn't turn back. Because if I'm honest, there's a lot of times when I'm not really having a posture of gratitude. Why didn't these other 9 turn back? Maybe they were thinking about the communities that had cast them out and the pain in their own friendships and families if they've been cast aside. Maybe they were still holding on to that pain. Or maybe they were thinking about some of their family members who had already died, isolated because of the illness. Or maybe, just maybe, they were upset that the Samaritan went back to thank Jesus. What? He did that? The nerve. Or maybe they were just focused on getting back to life as usual. Or even giving thanks at the temple without stopping and thinking about God's healing action through Jesus. We don't know exactly why most of them that were healed did not turn back to say thank you. But what I do know is that they're an important part of this story, because we can identify with them at times. For whatever reasons, we can join them in some way and say, yeah, it's really hard to give thanks sometimes in hardship. If I'm honest, as I was preparing this sermon this week, I'm in a bit of a stressful time right now getting some board certification papers in. I've been staying up super late, and I'm just not at my best. I know it. Emily could tell you too. I'm not at my best. And I'm preparing this sermon on giving thanks. Thanks, God. Good timing. Okay, what am I thankful for right now? really looking forward to tomorrow when get everything submitted. But it was a good reminder that I could identify with those other 9 that didn't turn back. I think God wants us to be honest. I love our scripture for 2018 from Psalms. It's our dwelling in the word text. And we read in that text that the writer in Psalms has been going through some really hard times. The writer in Psalms is just brutally honest. There's been suffering. There's been tribulation. And I love it that the Psalms give space for just the honesty. It's really hard. And yet, in the end of that psalm, there is this word of thanksgiving. And yet, I will give thanks with my whole being. Their whole being. In the midst of their suffering, they are still giving thanks to God in the midst of their whole being. It's powerful that the biblical story that forms and shapes us gives this space for just acknowledging that it's hard to give gratitude and there's suffering, and yet there's this still this spirit of going back to God in the midst of that and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Gratitude as a spiritual discipline. I think it begs us to ask the question, how are we practicing gratitude individually and together? I was at the Easter Mennonite Missions commissioning, where we commissioned Johanna Hoffer last Sunday. And there's this really powerful statement that was made as they were commissioning these people to go out, whether it be serving right here locally in Lancaster or all around the world. And they encouraged these people being commissioned to think about the people in their lives that helped them to get to where they were today. To recognize that they didn't just get there all by themselves, but there was a whole family and community behind them. And they even encouraged them to think back to their baby dedications, which we're going to do today, where many of these workers that were being sent out, how many years ago, maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, had been in that church service, being dedicated to God and to the church to serve. And now, how many years later, here they were, and they were being commissioned to go out. But it was this reminder to not forget kind of where you came from and to recognize the community. And what I took away from that was this spirit of gratitude. To recognize that these people that were being sent out, and I'm thinking of Johanna, who is serving right here in Lancaster with helping with some K-teams, to recognize the family that dedicated Johanna right here at First Def, and now she is out serving the Lord. And to recognize it and give thanks. Let's give thanks for the family and the Church of First Def in Whitmer Heights that helped to shape Johanna, and now she's serving the Lord. Amen. Gratitude. How are we giving thanks together? As Psalm 104 commands us, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his holy name. Amen.